Let's turn in God's Word to Revelation and chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 17. Revelation chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 1. These are the words of our Lord. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Now when a dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." And those are God's words. Matthew Henry says of this passage, and it's a lengthy quote, but he says, "It's generally agreed by the most learned expositors that the narrative we have in this and the 2 following chapters, from the sounding of the 7th trumpet," that was the last chapter, "to the opening of the vials, is not a prediction of things to come, but rather a recapitulation or repeating and representation of things past, which as God would have the apostle to foresee while future, he would have him to review now that they were past, that he might have a more perfect idea of them in his mind and might observe the agreement between the prophecy that providence and that providence that is always fulfilling the scriptures." And some of you could perhaps see that more clearly in this chapter than in other chapters we've gone through, that some of the things we've read about here have already occurred. And here we're given an account of that war between the church and the Antichrist, or between Genesis 3, the seed of the woman, and the seed of the serpent. Very clearly that, surely. The conclusion of it is certain, of this war between them. Verse 10. Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. And the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that is the church. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. The result of what happened in Christ winning the victory in the first 11 verses brings about great distress and calamity upon the earth and upon the church that is like, verse 13, it says, persecution. The evil one doing all he can to destroy the church. That's what's happening at the very end here. But the promise here is that the church is preserved and found victorious in Christ who has won the victory already for them. And here again is a place we must come to when there are troubles in the world for us to draw comfort and hope in Christ. I think as you read through, you might not understand every single little detail of the chapter, but I think the big picture you will, in reading, can see Christ. You can see the picture of Genesis 3 and what has happened at the cross for us. And so we can draw comfort and hope in Christ. The victory that the church has is in Christ. That's the big picture again of Revelation. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for this chapter and are thankful for its clarity or its expounding to explain some things that we might not easily see, like very clearly saying that the dragon is the serpent of old, the devil or Satan. We're thankful that we can see that picture of the woman and her seed, the child that is Jesus Christ, who is not destroyed, even though Satan waited and tried to destroy him, even as we'll hear this evening in 2 Chronicles. He tried to destroy him, but he failed. And we're thankful that you continue to now to protect your church, even as those who testify, who witness, though are persecuted at times, we keep your commandments. And we have the testimony of Jesus Christ, so we ask that you would bear us up and hold us up and protect us from the evil one. Protect us from his trying to put us to death. We know that you will, because as you promised that here, that you have been with us and you will continue to be with the church even to the end. And so, Father, we are thankful for the victory we have in Christ, that apart from Jesus Christ, we have no victory. We are already dead in our trespasses and sins, but you have made us alive in Christ, and you are make us victorious in Christ, and we are thankful for this salvation you have brought for your people. And, Father, we do pray again for those who are sick. We're thinking of Nathan, who has the flu, and Julie, and those families. We pray that their children, the babies, will not get sick. Again, we pray for Arian, and Levi, that their family would not get sick this week, especially as they're thinking the baby may come this week. And pray that you would protect them from illness. Father, we also were thankful for, as we think of those three families and babies and how you made us, Father, even from even in knitting us together in our mother's womb, we are thankful for how you are our creator and we are the creation. We pray that we would not commit idolatry and worship the creation rather than the creator who's blessed forever, as we hear in Romans 1. We ask that you would be with the church of Jesus Christ, who is persecuted throughout the world. We often think of the church in China, but there's many other places. And we could read reports right now of the church growing in Iran and Iraq and the Middle East and Turkey, where we know that we know a missionary there. We ask that you would be with these countries and many others we don't know about, where your people are especially persecuted and put to death and suffering under the oppression of false worship and false religion as they seek to worship you. Father, be merciful to your children in those places and give them the strength they need to endure and show forth the gospel faith in their life, but also with their words, that they would not deny Christ, not that they would not deny the gospel when told to, but they would obey and submit to Christ in everything. Father, we ask that you would be with the churches and our denomination, that you would strengthen us, as we heard last week, that you would not allow us to compromise, but stand upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the very cornerstone being Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and that we would not turn to the left or to the right, but that we would follow after you faithfully, with grace and with love in our hearts and with humility and patience. But Father, may we live according to the truth. And then Father, we ask that you would be with those smaller churches without pastors. You would provide ministers for them. And thinking of the Columbia congregation, who's sometime soon we'll hear candidates, and also Oklahoma City and Denison, and thankful that that there is a stated supply in Casper, Wyoming, but we do pray for a full-time pastor soon as they think about that. And Father, we ask that you would keep growing our presbytery, that you would bring new church plants about in Houston or Oklahoma City and other places, Father. And then, Father, we ask that you would be with those pastors in our denomination without a call or seeking for a call, or even seminary students who are graduating this year. We ask that you would provide a call for them, and that you would even provide for their families in that way. Father, we thank you for our for the church, for this congregation. We pray for ourselves, that you would keep us from error, that you would keep us from not from the attacks of the devil, but that you would protect us through them, and that as they come, that we would trust you and trust your word and trust your plan, even when there are attacks from the world and from the outside. And even when wolves come in, we pray that we would, especially the elders, protect the sheep, and that you would work through us to do so, and we'd be quick to do so and not wait or give a foothold for any wolf to come in. Father, we also ask that you would be with the deacons and their work that they're doing in preparing a budget and things like that for this coming year. We ask that you would give them wisdom, and then the session as they meet with them later, and then the congregation too, give wisdom in that process. We pray that you would grow your church, and we pray that you would grow this congregation as part of your church for your glory, because we know that's your plan, to grow the church. And so we ask that you would do so even through us for your glory, and that your name would go forth to many more people, and the gospel would be proclaimed. We pray and ask these things in the Son's name, Jesus Christ, his name, we pray. Amen.